Blog Talk Radio.
Tuesday. This is the Tuesday night Bible study, newcomers class. On this week, we are in lesson 5, which is prayer and fasting. Okay, and we're going to also be talking about the land for a short bit here. Okay, so let me open up your mics, phones, and Happy Tuesday, Sister Mary. Happy Tuesday, Sister Laura.
Happy Tuesday, Brother Miles.
Happy Tuesday.
All is well? Amen.
All is well.
Amen. And with you, Sister Laura?
Yes, all praises. Hallelujah.
Amen. Has anybody heard from Sister Rhea?
No, I haven't heard from her, Sister Rhea. Sister Rhea has been on my mind all day. And I was intending on calling her, but I had to go and get my lights fixed on my car. And I just got caught up.
Amen. And what about with you, Sister Laura? Have you heard anything from her?
No, I haven't.
Okay. All right. We'll see if she checks in sometime. Hopefully she got the job that she was looking for.
Amen.
Yeah, maybe that's what has her, time consumed. And where is my sister Denise at tonight?
Sister Denise is at the auto place getting her oil changed.
All right, amen. All right. Well, we did close on the land yesterday.
Amen.
I had gotten the check made out to the wrong thing, so I had to take it back in this morning. But we are on our way, and we are, I will start to purchase things that we are needing, to get started in this venture. So I want to thank everybody. Remember, we're all in this together, and the Most High is, everything is going to be okay. It's going to be more than okay. So, we just want to make sure that we are being faithful. I had asked the Most High to allow me to be able to stay at Amazon until we got this land. And so the 12th of November is my last day at Amazon. So we will be endeavoring to do something else, do the ministry full time, and more than likely I may teach some to supplement my income, but I won't be, tasked and overwhelmed like I've been while I'm at Amazon. So he has, and it's to the, almost to the day of what I ask him for, to be able to stay, there until this transaction was completed. And so he is good and faithful and allowed that to happen. And, we will be going on from here. Prayer and fasting. So I know everybody has their own things that they're experiencing. You are always all in my prayers. If we are faithful, one thing I know for sure, if we're faithful, the Most High is faithful to us. And he will always see you through, no matter what you're going through. And if you depend on him and keep your eyes focused on him, then he will always deliver even better than what you have been asking for. And sometimes it's not even the way that you've been, it's you don't get what you're asking for, you get better. And so I just want you to keep your eyes on him as you're going through. That being said, let us do our statement of faith. And while we're here, are there any questions on any of the previous lessons that we've done. And let me speak to my sister. Shalom, Sister Denise. Peace and blessings.
Shalom, Brother Miles. How are you?
I am blessed, my sister, when I say that, for real, for real. Not just saying it just to say it. I'm doing well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing well.
Amen. On any previous lessons, are there any questions?
No, I don't have any.
All right, amen. Anyone else? So we just want to make sure that, you know, if there are questions, that they are being addressed. Okay, no questions. All right, I don't know if that's good or bad.
Let's hope that's good.
Statement of faith. Amen. Amen. Then I'm going to have to take it that way. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. We just lift you, Father, and glorify you and magnify your name. For truly you are worthy. You are worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. You are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself. Father, we just want to bestow our adoration upon you, Father. You, because you first loved us, we love you, Father. And so, Father, we just glorify you, and we lift you up, and we thank you today for all that you have done for us and all that you're going to do. We depend on you, Father, for everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you even now, ahead of time, for your manifold blessings. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. And ladies, let me have you to cover your heads if you're not already covered. Any men listening online, and let me greet everybody. Greet you if you're listening in Pal Talk and Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be listening at, in your car, at home, on the North American continent, on the South American continent, on the European continent, even on the African continent, in those countries that we are in. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. All right. Everyone turn toward the east, holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and let's get verses 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now the Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I commanded you this day to go after other Elohims, which you have not known. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Our reference scripture for tonight is Psalms chapter 24, verses 1. Psalm chapter 24, verse 1. The earth is Yah's, and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein, the entire earth. Now, earth is talking about the planet, the ground you stand on. And then there's this world, this word world, and the world is actually all the systems that are on the planet, the systems of government, the political system, the financial system, the economic system. The health system, all these different systems, they are what make up the world, okay, and then the people who are involved in them. So we got to understand that Messiah came. Let's get a verse here so we can kind of understand what Messiah actually came to do. And let me look this verse up real quick, just a second. Let me look in the New Testament. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're just going to get verse 19 because when we understand the difference between the earth and the world, then you can sort of understand that what Christ actually came to reconcile. Okay. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19. To wit, that Elohim was in Christ, reconciling the world, the system. All these political systems, all these governments, because they are corrupt, and they're corrupt in accordance with the word of the Most High. So he also had to redeem mankind and reconcile mankind, but he came to reconcile the world. And the definition of world is the systems that make up this world, that man uses. So one of the first systems that Christ came to reconcile was the government. And, you know, we see in the statue of the definition in Daniel, the statue of the world governments, with Babylon being the head of gold, and Medo-Persia being the shoulders of silver. the midriff of silver, and the other countries, Greece, and then the Roman Empire. These are all governments and major kingdoms that have ruled this world, man's attempt to rule himself. And all of these governments didn't count on the Most High. They counted on themselves. And so when it says that he was reconciling the world, he came to show the world what the true government of the Most High looks like. Okay, and to redeem it. And so when we are living in this world, in these systems, we are supposed to be having an impact. Right now, we are just going through the motions in them, living by their standards, doing, you know, what they dictate that we do. But the truth of the matter is, we are supposed to be changing them to reflect the kingdom of heaven. And so when we don't understand what our job is, you know, we think our job is for everybody to preach the gospel, love the kingdom, and it's not. Our job is to help to reconcile the world, to change the systems of the world so that they are not corrupt. So let's read this verse again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. To wit, Elohim was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We're supposed to be helping mankind reconcile to the Most High. And then in helping mankind to reconcile to the Most High, we also have to reconcile the systems, the world that man lives in. Okay? So man has created this world. Man. And he has tried to institute his own ways outside of those that are of the Most High. And it has become corrupt. It is confusion. So when you look at that statue, and they always have over that statue, the largest government, and the one that was probably the most confused out of all of them, that was the head, was Babylon. To the point that the Most High had to turn Nebuchadnezzar into a brute beast. Feathers and stuff grew out of his skin. He grew long talons, long nails, like a bird. And he was like that until he was able to repent. And then he had to say that, you know, there is no other Elohim but God, and he's the greatest. And so he thought that, you know, he was the greatest ruler, but he had to give his credit to the Most High. Part of reconciling the world is forgiveness. We have to learn how to forgive mainly each other. In this walk. Now, once we forgive and a person refuses to do the right thing, then, you know, the scriptures say after the first admonition, you rebuke a brother, but after the second, you turn away from them. Okay, because what they will do is they will drag you down. They will cause you to keep doing what they're doing. And, you know, if we desire the things of the world, then we will probably follow after them. But we have to desire the things of the Most High more than we desire the things of the world. You know, the political system, the entertainment system, all of these different systems are designed to run your life, are designed to tell you how to behave and what to do. And so, you know, we may not ever even look at them that way. You know, it's just life. But it's not just life. So all of these different systems have an influence upon us. And we are supposed to be the change in the world. Now, I know we've all heard of the scripture that we are supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. Anybody recall ever reading that scripture?
Yes, I have.
Amen. It is a true scripture, of which all scripture is true, but it's an expectation from the Most High that we live that way, that we are in the world, but not of the world. We are in these systems, but we're not of these systems. And if the system is corrupt because men are corrupt. Now, as I was saying on last week, one of the things that I was doing was reading on all of the different religions and what do they believe is in the new covenant. Because it's just strange to me that most of them don't include the statutes, laws, and commandments. They never talk about the judgments of the Most High. What they talk about is man making his own statutes, laws, and commandments. And it's like the Most High canceled out all his, but he never did cancel them out. Matter of fact, he says the opposite. He says not one jot or tittle would pass from the law, and none have passed from the law. He modified. He didn't take away sacrifice. He said you were to be the sacrifice. He modified it from the animals to us, but he didn't take away. And so we got to understand that we have to be walking by the Most High's standards, his commandments, his judgments. So let me pull this up, and give me a hot second here. And if somebody would remind me to send this out to you guys, because I should have sent this out prior to, so that you had this as well. So do we understand the difference between the world and the earth?
Yes.
All right, amen. Let's talk about worship and prayer. Because a lot of people don't realize that they're worshiping things when they bestow adoration on them, when we admire them. We may not see it as worship. We may not see, you know, we didn't say, well, we didn't bow down to that. But you don't always have to bow down to something to worship it. Extreme adoration of something is a form of worship.
Extreme adoration.
Right. I admire you. So worship, which includes prayer, has been defined as the giving honor to Yah, the rendering of worship to our Creator and Redeemer, the communion of spirit, our spirit, with his spirit. It is a man speaking to Yah and Yah to man. It is a time of spiritual eating and drinking. Prayer is ultimately man's recognition of Yah's superiority. In other words, why would you pray to something that if you don't believe, number one, that is greater than you, that whoever or whatever, because I'm saying, yes, I got to get away from that word. If you don't believe that to whom or what you're praying to is able to help you, is greater than you, is superior to you, is able to do the impossible for you, is able to deliver you out of situations that you may not be able to deliver yourself out of. So prayer is ultimately man's recognition of Yah's superiority. Through prayer, man humbly approaches Yah, who says, whosoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whosoever humbles himself shall be exalted. As in Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. Let's go to Matthew chapter 23. Let's get verse 12. The book of Matthew, chapter 23. And let's get verse 12. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 All right, thank you. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. When we go before the Most High, we are to be extremely humble because of who we're approaching. And as I said before, a lot of times, I don't believe that the people really truly fear the Most High. So they are approaching kind of any kind of way. So I want you to imagine yourself in the king's court, okay? And in the king's court, he is sovereign. He has the power of life and death at a look, at a point. He points his scepter and gives a signal, and the guard just kills you. And we have to understand that in man's world, kingdoms have been this way. And we know that when we've been studying the word of the Most High has not been playing. He said, I will be sanctified in those that come close to me. That means that you got to treat him with the utmost respect, with fear and trembling. Those that tremble at my word, because if you make a wrong step, see, this is where people are not reverencing him the way we ought to. Because all through the scripture, we see that if you make a wrong step, if you do something you're not supposed to do, and especially if it's willful, he don't forgive it. If it's in ignorance, he forgives you. But if it's willful, you are subject to die right then. And so you have to humble yourself. You have to look at yourself and say, who am I really going before? Who am I presenting myself to? And do I just approach him just any kind of way? Even in prayer. Do I approach with humbleness? Or do I approach him like he's my buddy? And I can just, you know, talk to him like I talk to my friend. Let me put it to you this way. When you are humble and when you recognize the Most High for who he is and what he is, who he is Elohim. He's God Almighty, all by himself. and there is nothing and no one above him. You can't appeal above him. And so whatever he says, it's the final word, no matter what it is. And when he has the power of life and death over you, if you get out of order, getting out of order is usually not going to be a slap on the wrist. It's going to be your life. And people are not respecting the Most High that way. And they're not fearing him that way. So, you know, if you were in a foreign country and it was run by a king, because we're not used to a king in the Western Hemisphere, and we're not used to a king, you know, running our lives, okay? But when you are in a kingdom has a what? A president? No. A kingdom has a dictator? No. Even though some kings can be dictators. A kingdom has a what? King. And by definition, the king in his kingdom is sovereign. Whatever he says goes. Okay. So he says, whosoever shall exalt himself, that means whoever shall lift himself up, be puffed up, shall be abased. That means knocked down. That means in this sense, if you're dealing with the king, that means you, if you exalt yourself over the king, you shall be killed. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. He says, I will raise you up. I will exalt you. I will, you know, give you honor. But you got to be humble before me. And so, you know, all of these things should be incorporated into our worship. When you bestow adoration on the Most High, it should be from a position of extreme reverence and fear. By his own mouth, he says, fear me. And, you know, I can't get off of that for, you know, for anyone or anything, because this matters how we approach him, even in our worship. You know, and for some people, some of us aren't used to worshiping. It's like we can't open our mouth and give the Most High a praise. Can't tell him we love him. But the truth of the matter is, this is the way that we commune to him. So let me put it another way. When we are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, our prayer is the way that we petition the Most High as citizens of his kingdom to supply our needs. The government is supposed to supply us with security, with a land that we can live in and not be afraid of our enemies. It's supposed to supply an army. You know, we want to be the army, but the Most High says, I got an army. And one of them can't none of you mess with, an angel. That's why Messiah said to Pilate, if it were so, if it was my time right now, I would just petition the Father for what? 12 legions of angels. And they'd come and tear this place up. We're talking about tearing up the world because one angel wreaks havoc. And so he has an army. We are citizens. We don't need to fight. And so we fight in this world because the Most High wants us to know what it's about. But we don't really need to fight when we know. All we got to do is call our king. Our king just happens to also be our father. And so I believe that a lot of us are still in our infancy, in our growth, that we don't understand that our daddy is the king. And we're still so far in our infancy that we don't really understand that we need to fear him. Because our daddy said he's not a respecter of persons. He don't care if you're the enemy or you're the child if you disrespect him. It's all one and the same. You disrespect him, you disobey him. Especially if it's willful disobedience. He don't see you any, he actually says that you are adversarial. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. The book of Hebrews chapter 10. And we're just going to get one verse. I'm setting this up because I want our worship to be different from this point on. And we're going to be getting verse 20. Let's get verses 26 and 27. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my sister. Amen. Thank you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 and 27. For if we sin willfully, intentionally, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. So when we sin willfully, we make ourselves what? Adversaries to the Most High. Can I get somebody to look up that a definition for adversary? Can one of you sisters do that for me, please, that have a dictionary?
Yes, yep.
Thank you. Because I want us to understand what the scriptures are saying. When we sin willfully, we make ourselves an adversary to the Most High. And so when you have that definition, if you will, go ahead and read it for me.
Okay, I'm typing it in.
Amen. Adversary. I wonder if you make yourself his friend. I wonder if that word means your buddy.
No, he says it's an opponent, a foe, one that speaks against another in complaint, an enemy.
An enemy.
Especially devil.
A foe.
You say you're an enemy or a foe.
Okay. That's if you willfully sin. If we are out here practicing willful sin, he says, you are my enemy. You're my opponent.
Yep.
You are a child of mine, and you willfully sin, you became my enemy. That's why I say the Most High doesn't have, he's not a respecter of persons. Because if we are willfully disobedient, he says, we make ourselves his enemy. And then we want him to answer our prayers. We want him to, you know, forgive us. He says, you know, I'll forgive you if it's ignorant. But if not, if it's not ignorant, then you just made yourself an enemy of him. And so your enemy don't usually pray to you unless they are what? Asking for forgiveness. They're asking for mercy. See, that's why you need mercy. But the Most High didn't have to give mercy. And we, you know, we put ourselves in a bad position when we are in need of mercy. Because mercy says that you're guilty. When you show up to man's court, let's say it was a speeding ticket. Excuse me. And you know you were guilty of speeding. And let's say you were doing 30 or 40 over the speed limit. So you know they're about to throw your butt in jail. And you know you can't afford to go to jail. You got children and a family that depend upon you. And so you know that you're guilty, so you throw yourself on the what of the court?
The mercy of the court.
No, on the mercy of the court, right? Have mercy on me. And what does that mercy mean? Don't give me the maximum sentence that you can give me. Be lenient. Give me less than what I deserve. That's what you're asking. I'm guilty, but I'm guilty with circumstance. Maybe I was speeding because my child was sick in the back and what have you. If you have a good excuse, you're still guilty. But you're saying don't enforce the full extent of the law. And so the Most High, when we go before him, when we are in that case, in that circumstance, just like the human judge, the Most High can choose to have mercy or he can choose not to. You know, and it's really at the judge's or the Most High's what? Discretion. That's why he says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and whom I will harden, I will harden, because I want to judge them. I want them to be guilty. I've already looked at their heart and saw that they are not going to change. So anytime you're dealing, I mean, would you go into the court if you were in that situation? Would you go into the court talking mess?
No.
Would you go into the court being disrespectful?
Nope.
No.
Would you treat that man with reverence?
With the judge?
With the judge.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't want the max penalty, you better. Trying to do anything to make him what, mad?
Make him mad, yeah.
But somehow when we approach the Most High, it's something different. And he is the ultimate judge.
Yeah.
Can't appeal before him. That's why a lot of states reinstituted the death penalty. And why they reinstituted the death penalty, they said, hey, you have done something so horrendous. You have taken another life. Now, this is their justification. The Most High said, we don't need all that justification. If a man takes another man's life and he takes it maliciously, he deserved death. But, you know, man is trying to re-justify himself that, oh, we are these great creatures. And, you know, we have all these moral values that are, we don't just put somebody to death for even killing somebody else, okay? And so for those states that reinstituted, said, hey, we don't know how to judge you. So we're going to send you to your maker and let him judge you. That's what they justified for bringing back the death penalty. We're going to send you to the ultimate judge and let him judge you. And that's what they justified the death penalty with. But the Most High says, you know, if a person takes a life maliciously, not by accident, then they're supposed to be killed. A life for a life. Now, when we realize that the Most High is the ultimate judge, he is the highest authority, he is the highest power, there is no other power above him. So when you come before him, even to be in his presence, you ought to do it with reverence. See, because if you showed up at the king's court and you spoke out of turn, you were subject to be killed. That's in the earthly king's court. You spoke out of turn, you were subject to be killed. You said anything disrespectful, you were subject to be killed. So you were very careful about when you spoke and what you said. And if you were angry at the king, you didn't let it be known in any kind of disrespectful way, probably not at all.
Brother Miles.
Yes, ma'am.
Didn't they have to be announced? They couldn't just go see him. They had to be announced.
Even his
to
wife.
See the king.
Yes, even his wife. The queen.
Yeah.
Had to be announced. She just didn't show up. And we don't seem to understand this type of relationship today when we're dealing with the Most High Elohim, the Most High God, the Most High Authority. And so in our worship, we are to humble ourselves. We are to approach with fear and trembling. We just run and say what we're going to say. And do what we're going to do. And so we have to be in high reverence of the Most High. Let's continue. Go to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 All right. Proverbs chapter 29. And we are going to be getting verse 23, Proverbs 29 and verse 23. And did my Bible close down? I think it did. Hold on just a second. Let me let it open back up. Proverbs 29 and verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. When we are humble, and especially before the Most High, then he shows us honor. He causes men, people, to show us honor. Okay, and so, but when we are prideful, when we can't admit that we are in a wrong, that what we are doing is not holy, but we want to keep doing it, then that will bring us low. It will be what knocks us down. But when we're humble, then the Most High says we will be honored. Okay. And let's get Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 And.
Amen. Isaiah 57. And let's get Isaiah 57 and verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. His name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite heart and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. So the Most High says, the ones that he's looking for are those that have a contrite and humble spirit. Can you give me a definition of contrite? A definition of contrite. Anybody able to find that?
I got to rub or glue, to rub or wear. Wear or bruise, broken hearted, for sin, deeply affected with grief and sorrow for having offended God. Humble.
Okay, now that's humble, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not a contrite.
Okay. Let me give you what my Bible says for contrite. Crushed. Literally powder. Figuratively destruction. So those that are crushed and humble in spirit. This is who he's looking for. See, when we think we're all that in a bag of chips, Most High says, I'm not looking for you. I'm looking for those who understand that they are nothing before me.
Amen.
Who will humble themselves before me. Who fear me.
Amen.
That's who he says dwells with him. And when we want to be his buddy. You know, it was a big thing for him to call. When we understand this, it's a big thing for the Most High to call you his friend.
Amen.
And so when he says Abraham was his friend, that's a big statement. You see, this is the relationship that everybody else wants. But I suggest you first start off understanding that you're not his friend. And he's not your friend. He is your God. Your Elohim. He has the power of life and death literally over you. And if you say the wrong thing, if you think the wrong thing in the kingdom to come, he says, I know your thoughts. So if he knows your thoughts and you got a rebellious heart, do you think you're going to be able to hide that from him?
Not at all.
If you mad at him, you think you're going to be able to hide it?
Not at all. How can you get mad at him?
you'd be surprised how many people are mad at the Most High. They blame him for, you know, their mother dying or their father dying or their child dying or their life. They blame him for, you know, you didn't protect me. You let somebody come in and rape me. You let somebody shoot me. A lot of people are angry at the Most High for what men do, as though they have a right to be angry at him.
I know.
So it's, you will be surprised how many people are in that situation and not understanding that he has allowed this because he has allowed the systems in the world, man, to use all the systems that he can come up with so that the Most I can say, see, I told you that none of your systems will work. None of them are more just or righteous than mine. So when I destroy them, then I don't want you complaining. When I destroy them and enforce mines, I don't want you complaining. Because yours bring about confusion. Yours bring about double standards. Yours bring about respect of persons. Yours bring about doing things that only you or a few people prosper by. He says, when I've told you, I want all of you to have all things what in common. None of you to have more than the other. I don't care if you a king. You don't need all that. Take care of your people. Then if the people exalt you because you humbled yourself, then the people exalted you. They gave you that. Not that you were seeking after it. You were seeking after their good. So he wants those that have a crushed spirit. Those that they're hurt, but they know that there's coming a time and that they depend upon him. So this world is cruel. And the systems of the world are cruel. You know, they want to say that, you know, they want to say that they are pro-life. Don't kill a baby in the womb. But when it come after it comes out of the womb, they don't care nothing about it. So are you really pro-life? Or are you just pro-womb? Big difference. So let's continue. So the Most High says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones, the crushed ones. So Most I said, this is who I'm healing. This is who I'm fixing. These are the ones that are going to be around me. Because if you are humble and contrite, and you know to fear the Most High, that's who he's looking for. That's who dwells with him in the high and holy place. Not those that are disobedient. Not those that are speaking their mind, because he's like, I don't need to hear your mind. Let's keep going. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66, and let's get verse 2. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. All right, thank you. For all those things has my hand made, and all those things have been, saith Yah. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. Now we're talking about worship. When you approach the Most High, it has to be with a contrite spirit. It has to be that you tremble at his word, that you fear him, and that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. And when you fear him so much that you don't just go ahead and do what you want to do. When your flesh says, do this, you'd be like, no. Read that again. For all those things has my hand made, and all those things has been, saith Yah. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. This is how we are to humbly approach the Most High, through this spirit, through this attitude, through this level of reverence, respect. You know, I was speaking to a brother, and he was saying, how can you tell me if I fear the Most High or not? I said, look at the words you used. I said, do you really associate trembling with respect? You can respect somebody and not tremble at their word. I respect you, man, but, you know, respect is earned. It only goes so far. You know how people get. You respect me, I'll respect you. But those words aren't usually associated with trembling. Reverence is not usually associated with trembling. How many of us, last time we heard of a reverend in the Baptist church that we trembled over? They got a title of what? Reverend. That means you're supposed to show them what? Reverence. But do we look at reverence with fear? With trembling? So this is a different level that the Most High is talking about, that you're supposed to reverence him. With trembling? With fear? It's a whole different level. I respect a lot of people, and I have reverence for a lot of people, but I'm not afraid of them. And I don't tremble at the thought of them.
Amen, bro.
So this is different.
Yeah.
Very different.
It is.
It is said that prayer, praise, scripture, and exhortation are the four cardinal elements of worship. So part of your worship is your prayer. Part of your worship is your praise. How do you pray to him? How do you praise him? How do you exhortation, provide exhortation? Give me the definition for exhortation. If you would do that for me, my sister. Exhortation. And when you have it, you can just give it.
The acts are being explored.
Say that again.
Oh, am I on mute?
No, I can hear you, but I can barely hear you.
Okay, it's the act of being exploring. I can't even pronounce it. It's the act of, okay, let me find this other one. That one ain't working. The act of carrying out a country to benefit or enrich by the exploitation of this surplus product. That makes no sense to me. I need another dictionary. Hold on, bro.
Okay, that one wasn't that clear.
No, that wasn't that clear to me.
Hold on.
Might need to look up exhort. Okay, no worries. Look up EXHORT.
I got exaltation is the act or practice of exalting, the act of including or limitation.
Okay,
the act of doing what or limitation?
The act or practice of exalting the act of in quotation.
Okay. So look up exalt. Or look up exhort, E-X-H-O-R-T. Because it would be this, I think this is a better definition, more, a clearer one. But you know, act of exalting. Exhort.
Okay, this one ain't working either. What am I looking for?
Are you able to find that one?
No. Maybe I should go to the strong.
It's encourage, to embellish, to cheer, to advise. Primary sense seems to be to exalt or to give strength, spirit, or counsel.
Okay. I'll give another definition. To strongly encourage or to urge to do something.
That's not in none of my books.
That's not in none of your books?
No, and I'm finna throw it away if it don't serve and do something. Because all it goes is to export, and I don't even know why they gave me this old raggedy book.
Don't be too hard on the book.
Yeah, I'm mad at the book.
Okay, so one of exhortation is to strongly encourage or urge somebody to do something. That should be part of your worship and your prayer life.
Amen.
You should be strongly encouraging the Most High to act on your behalf. You should strongly be encouraging to what for you to be in His will. But that word means to strongly encourage or to urge in a simple form. Someone to do something. Okay, so part of your prayer life, part of your worship is your prayer, your praise, using the scripture, and encouraging, strongly encouraging, are the four cardinal elements of worship. And we're going to cover all of these. At different times. So let's look at how must we worship Yah. How must we worship Him? Let's go to the book of John.
And in spirit.
Chapter 4. Yep. In spirit and what?
And in truth.
Amen. Can't leave out that and. John chapter 4, verse 23 through 24. I'll just start with 22. You worship, you know not what. He's talking to the woman at the well. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. He wants those people who worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's who He's looking for, to worship Him. Elohim is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Can't worship Him in spirit and your opinion. If your opinion is contrary to what? The truth. See, we wanna give the Most High what we want to give Him. But He says we got to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So as long as you're in truth, you're okay. And as long as you're in spirit, what does that mean? Let's look and see what word this is in the Greek, because this is what the New Testament is written in the Greek. In spirit, and the word that is using here is pneuma. And a current of air, a breath, a blast, a breeze, by analogy or figuratively, a spirit. I.e. human, the rational soul, by implication, vital principle, mental disposition, etc. Or superhuman, an angel, a demon, or divine, Elohim, Christ's spirit, the Holy Spirit, ghost, life, or spiritual, spiritually, mind. So this word can say, we can be saying that the Most High wants us to worship Him in our mind and in truth, in our, another word here that we may not put, and mentally, in our mental disposition, because that word spirit, as we looked at on before, don't always just mean, you know, a spiritual being. The spirit is in context to what is being said in the scripture. So when we worship Him in spirit, we are to renew our mind, our what? Our minds, right?
Yep.
By the renewing of our minds.
Mm-hmm.
And in truth. Now when He says we shall be filled with His spirit, then that's the spirit being used in a whole different context. And people want to apply the same context, the same meaning for the word spirit all the time, and you can't do that. Excuse me, because it has many different meanings. And so it's in the context of the verse. So let's get this verse. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. And let's get verse 2 as the subject verse. Let's see if we need verse 1 as well for context.
Amen.
Okay, let's get verses 1 and 2. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 All right, thank you. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Elohim, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Elohim, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect, that good and acceptable and perfect will of Elohim. So we have to use the scriptures to renew our mind. Can't think like the world. Can't be, in this carnal mind where we are allowing the flesh to rule us by the renewing of our mind. Okay? That's another meaning for spirit. So we're to worship the Most High in spirit by the renewing of our mind and in truth. So you can't renew your mind with a lie. You can't renew your mind with false doctrine. You can't renew your mind with half-truths, because half of the truth, people go off half-cocked all the time. And when they find out the rest of the story, then they'll be like, oh, I'm sorry. And in some things, we know the Most High just has to reveal it to us. And some people he don't choose to reveal it to. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. The book of Romans chapter 1. Verse 25. How can the worship of Yah be corrupted? How can it be corrupted? Romans chapter 1 and verse 25. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 All right, thank you. Romans chapter 1 and verse 25. Who changed the truth of Elohim into a lie. That's how you can corrupt it. Just change the truth into a lie. And worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. But we can corrupt our worship by changing the truth into a lie. And if we do that, let me throw this verse with it. I don't have it here, but it just came into my mind. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. In chapter 2. And when you have it, you say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my sister. 2 Thessalonians chapter 11, verses 2nd chapter, yeah, wow. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And for this cause, Elohim shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Who's sending this to them?
Father.
He wants them to what? Believe this. Because they changed the truth into a lie. They corrupted his truth. So he sends them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Why? Verse 12. That they all might be what?
Damned.
Who believe not what?
The truth.
But had pleasure in unrighteousness. So this is from the Most High himself. When we corrupt his truth, when we knowingly corrupt it, then he says, I will send you a spirit of strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth. So is it important that we believe the truth?
Yes,
it is important that we believe the truth.
Is it important that we know the truth?
Absolutely.
Yes.
So it we should be very careful about, you know, what we eat spiritually. Mm-hmm. We should be very careful about what we listen to. I don't try to tell anybody who to listen to because, you know, I believe the Most High can speak through anyone. But we have to be careful. We have to make sure it lines up with his word. Because if not, we can start believing something that is not the truth and it's a what?
A lie.
And then ourselves be damned. That's why it's important. That's why I say I don't care. I don't care who's right. I just want to know what's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Because that's what's going to determine if you get into the kingdom or whether you go to the lake.
Yeah.
You can be acting on a lie and thinking you're doing a good, but it's a lie, and you end up in the lake because everything you did was based upon a falsehood. That's how afraid we should be of this. That's how much respect. That's why it says that trembles at my word. Because if you get it wrong, it's a problem. You know, people always say, oh, well, you believe the way you believe, and I'll believe the way I believe, and we'll see at the end. That's true, very true. But I would not be so cavalier with it. I would be worried whether I am, what I'm believing, if it's true or not. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't want, number one, I don't want to corrupt the word of the Most High and turn it into a lie. And I don't want to cause anybody else to believe a lie. Because now that person's soul is on me. So when, you know, when I see brothers or sisters who can just teach anything, and I'm like, where are you getting that from? Like, I was talking to a brother whose name I won't mention, and the brother was telling me, well, if you know the scriptures, you'll know that a dowry was paid to the man, to the woman's father paid the dowry to the husband. I said, huh? Yeah, just go read in here. I go read where they're talking about. I'm like, maybe I missed something. Did I miss something? I go read it, and because this sister had her dowry. Her father had given her her dowry to take into her marriage. He said, this is to help you guys out. But the dowry was paid by the husband. So it's like a man giving me a dowry for my daughter. And I'm going to turn around and say, here, baby, take this and make sure you have what you need. Make sure you can help out in the marriage. Now, who gave it to me? He did, right? But then I turned around and gave it back to them. So he saw this, but didn't look at everywhere else is telling that the man who is approaching for the wife pays the dowry. So because he didn't want to pay one, he wanted to use the one verse where he found where the woman's father gave her her dowry. And said that he gave it to her husband, but he didn't. He gave it to her. Now, that in and of itself, if you're teaching that the father of the bride should pay the husband the dowry, is that a lie? It is. And you can cause people to believe a lie. I mean, that's a little simple thing. But we have to be very careful about what we teach. Because, you know, if it seems like it's going to be to my advantage, this is the way I'm going to see it. But you have just corrupted the word of the Most High and changed it into a lie. And now you're delusional and believing that lie. And can't nobody convince you that it's not a lie. And that's from the Most High. Let's go to, so how can the worship of Yah be corrupted? By changing his truth into a lie. That's how you can corrupt his worship. What does corrupt worship cause? Let's get verses 26 through 32. Let's go back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And we're going to get verses 26 through 32. And when you're there, if you say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. 26 through 36. For this cause Elohim gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was met. And even as they did not like to retain Elohim in their knowledge, Elohim gave them over to a reprobate mind. Look up reprobate.
I already know what that means. That's worthless.
Amen. That's what?
Worthless. You're not worth nothing.
Reprobate. Mm-hmm. A worthless mind.
Yep.
To do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of Elohim, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, think they got understanding, but they really don't, because they're believing a what? They've been caused to believe a lie. Covenant breakers. See, people don't look at that word there. When you believe a lie, when you are in this state, you can't keep covenant with the Most High. You will break it. He will cause you to break covenant. I don't want to be in contract with you. I don't want to be in a relationship with you. Covenant breakers. Now, we've been covering the what? Old covenant? Coming into the new?
Uh-huh.
But see, people don't even take this word serious.
Nope.
And they don't take the breaking of it serious.
Nope.
But the Most High says he caused that.
Uh-huh.
Without natural affection. Pretending to love somebody but really don't have no true feelings for them. Can't even have true feelings. Just for what you can get out of them. Implacable. Excuse me. Wow. Can you look up this word implacable? We know it's nothing good.
Not to be a plea. That cannot be pacified. And rendered peacefully. We say stubborn. Uh-oh.
So let's read this. Let's apply this. You cannot be appeased. That means you can't be made happy.
Right.
You cannot be pacified. And rendered peaceable, meaning that you're always contrary, always at odds with whoever, never at peace, inexorable. That means, remember when we looked up exhort? To be highly encouraged?
Right.
You can't be encouraged. Stubborn or constant in enmity, in hatred. This is implacable, unmerciful.
Unmerciful.
Who knowing the judgment of Elohim, that they which commit such things are worthy of what?
Yes.
People, you know, again I say, people think that the Most High is going to give them a slap on the wrist for this stuff. But the Most High says you're worthy of death. He don't change. Matter of fact, I'm going to pull this verse aside to use it in the next precept that I do in this subject area. Because, you know, from a New Testament standpoint, people don't believe that the Most High puts people to death. No, that's the God, that's the Elohim of the Old Testament. The Elohim of the New Testament don't do that. It's the same Elohim. He didn't change.
He changed not.
I changed
and
not.
You know what else, brother?
What's that, my sister?
They don't believe in a lake of fire either.
I know.
No.
Because I got a friend told me, that God would not burn her up, because she would not worship a God that would burn her up. I said, well, what you think he's going to do with all his crew?
Right. She's not worshiping the Elohim of the Bible, then, is she?
She's not. No, she's not.
She's worshiping a God she has made up.
Yeah.
It's called idolatry.
Absolutely.
She may not have carved him into stone or wood, but in her mind, she's not worshiping the God of the Bible. She's worshiping the God of her mind.
Yeah, because she said,
the God
of
the Bible says, I will throw you in the lake of fire. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So if she says she won't worship him, a God that would do that, then who, you just need to ask her who you're worshiping then. Because you're surely not worshiping the God of this book.
Yeah, well, I left her alone because I knew she had a problem when she said that. We don't even talk about the book.
Amen. Amen. I hear you. Why waste your time, right?
Yeah, why waste my time?
Verse 32 again. Who knowing the judgment of Elohim, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So these people find all this wickedness pleasurable. They find pleasure in even in people who do it. Because they corrupted the word of the Most High. And so you ask yourself, how can somebody be that way? Because the Most High has made them that way now. They decided to be wicked. The Most High made them wicked. And they think that they're good. And you can't convince them otherwise. No matter what you say to them, you ain't gonna never be right. And they ain't gonna never be wrong. But he said he did that. So, you know, all we gotta do is look at the fruit of a person. And if they are using the word of the Most High saying one thing and their lives are doing something else, you know there's something wrong. How can you be talking like this, or how can you be teaching this or saying this, but then your actions are so contrary to that? Or not that, they teach their own brand of holiness, which is wicked. It's okay to do this. But brother, you know that's not right, but it's okay. Because they have believed the lie. So they bring it to their worship. And that means that their worship has to also be what? Corrupt. Can we hear this? People wonder why their prayers aren't being answered. They wonder why they're going through certain things. Because they have sided with wickedness. And the Most High has caused them to believe a lie. So that's how we can corrupt. That's what corrupt worship does. What does it cause? It causes people to do all these things. Let's read them again. Let's get them down pat so we don't make sure that we don't fall into these traps. Verse 26 again. I tell you what. Sister Denise, you read verse 26. Sister Mary, you read 27. I'll read 28. And then we'll repeat like that until we finish.
For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature.
Verse 27. Sister Mary.
Yes, I was. I'm sorry. Verse 27.
You're Romans chapter 1, verse 27.
And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the women, burning in their own lust one towards another one. Men with men, working which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which were met.
Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain Elohim in their knowledge, Elohim gave them over to a reprobate, a worthless mind, to do those things which are not convenient. Verse 29, Sister Denise.
Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, covetousness, malice.
Thank you.
Deceit. I don't know that word.
Malignity.
Yeah, and whispering.
And whisper. Verse 30. Go ahead.
Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, prideful, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents.
Backbiters, haters of Elohim. Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. You can come back later. Implacable, unmerciful. This is all those individuals who choose to corrupt the word of the Most High. Who choose to corrupt the word of the Most High. He says, I will cause them to believe a lie, that I might damn them.
Thank you, Father.
And so they start doing all these things and thinking that, yeah,
okay,
I do that, but the Father's, what, merciful, right?
And what they say?
That's what they say. I do that, but the Father's merciful. He'll forgive me.
Right. Or they'll say, well, you know, me and Jesus got our own thing. I can't stand it when they say that.
Or they'll say, I'm a good person. I do these things.
Yeah.
I know I'm wrong
right
with this, but. Now, I'll read verse 32, Romans chapter 1, verse 32, because he says, who knowing the judgment of Elohim, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. People think that this is an Old Testament judgment only. But this is in the what? The New Covenant.
And so-called the New Testament in Romans.
Amen. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So, you know, we got brothers out here chasing skirts and high-fiving and dapping one another, talking about, you know, these things together, taking pleasure in doing wrong, taking pleasure in one another in doing wrong. And the Most High says they know that what they're doing, they're worthy of death. But the Father's merciful. I'm telling you, he ain't going to be that merciful. Because you knew that it was what? Wrong. And he caused you to be that way. Now, wait a minute. Let me put a different light on this. The Father caused them to be that way. Remember, he said that. I will cause them to what? Believe a lie.
Believe a lie.
That I might damn them. And when I damn them, they're worthy of what? Death.
Yeah.
But he's going to be merciful. You know, he wouldn't have caused you to believe the lie if he was planning on being merciful.
Amen.
He wouldn't cause you to become corrupt if he was planning on you being, he was planning on being merciful.
Amen.
So you see how their twisted mind twisted? Their reprobate mind will cause them to believe that the Most High is merciful and he will just forgive me. When he says, no, I cause you to believe that lie. That I might what? Damn you. And because I'm damning you, I'm damning you to death. This is why we need to fear him. Fear him. Because, see, people don't even know this is being done to them. Because they've been what? Deceived. And just like your friend said, if she knew this, she would be saying, I wouldn't serve a God that would do that to me. That's basically what she was saying, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So you know, all the brothers and sisters out there, I want them to understand that you're probably doing the things that you're doing, and if somebody coming to you and telling you to stop and you don't stop, then it's because 9 times out of 10, the Most High has caused you to believe what you're doing is okay. Because he wants to damn you. And see, that's what, good grief. People just don't believe that the Most High would put them in that situation. But he's doing it because they corrupted what? The truth, his truth. Let's go back to verses 1 and 2 again. I believe that's where we were at. So let's go back to verse 25. So we're talking about what corrupts, what does corrupt worship cause? Who changed the truth of Elohim into a lie and worship and serve the Creator more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. All right, so people want to choose to do wrong. People want to choose to do what they want to do. And then they justify it and say, but I serve a merciful God. And his mercies are renewed day by day. They are for those that fear him. They are for those who tremble at his word. But if you don't fear him and you don't tremble at his word and you corrupt his truth and change it into a lie, then what he does for you is he causes you to believe the lie. And nobody can't convince you that it's not a lie. And for what purpose? That he might damn you.
Uh-uh.
I mean, this is heavy.
Yes, it is.
And people just don't want to believe that the God that they serve would do this. That's why I tell them, these are not my words. This is the word of the Most High.
Well, brother, can I ask you this question?
Yes, ma'am.
When they disobey the Father, isn't that like challenging him?
It is.
I ain't got that much heart.
It's challenging him, and it's actually just straight up. I don't want to use the word disobedience because you said disobey. It's actually just straight up disrespect.
Absolutely. I ain't got that much heart.
Yeah, just straight up disrespect. I don't care about your authority.
Mm.
I don't care about what you say. I say otherwise.
Ooh.
And I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care what you say.
That's scary.
It is. But people don't take the Most High that way. They don't take him serious. They don't take him serious. So, you know, I pray. I pray that that we can understand, because, like I said, my whole purpose is that we would not fall into these traps. You know, trying to come of our own understanding, trying to come of our own opinion. Let's go back to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 11. And when you have it, say amen.
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 And let's start at verse 10. So that we, because this is talking about those people who actually will probably also be they will worship Antichrist. Okay? And with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the what?
Love of the truth.
That they might be saved. These people who follow Antichrist, they don't love the truth. And see, if Antichrist is not even here influencing them, and they still don't love the truth, what does that say? You don't have Antichrist here deceiving you, you know, smoozing you and trying to win you over. This is you doing this of your own what? Mind.
Own free will.
Right. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause, for this reason, Elohim shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Who's doing this? The Most High. I want to make sure we know this. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. So he's doing this to them. They won't accept the truth of his word. They won't walk in the truth of his word. They will change it to suit them so that they can continue to do what they're doing. And he says that I will cause them to believe a lie. And no matter what you say to them, they believe that they are in truth. They give, you know, no matter what, they can say that they are wrong and still next sentence come back to the same lie that they're believing. because it's that strong in them. Man, I know that what I'm saying, I know it's wrong, but I think it's okay. They can't stop. They can't get away from it. And then they congregate. They hang with those that do the same thing. And take pleasure in their unrighteousness. You know you shouldn't be doing that. I know it, but you know we both doing it. So, man, you know how this makes me feel. I get pleasure from doing that. Have pleasure in unrighteousness. That is what Scripture is talking about. This is what the Most High says. He causes to come on them. So when you see that, then you know what you're dealing with. It's not judging. Their actions will do what? Tell on them. That's why I say certain individuals I look at, I'm like, no. I don't even want to get started. We're not going down that road because I'm not the one. You're not sucking me into that. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I act like a child because I didn't know any better. When I know better, there's no way you can suck me into that. So this is what changing the truth of the Most High into a lie. This is how it corrupts even your worship. And you'll be doing all these things. You'll be thinking you understand, have understanding of the Scriptures, but you have none. You have the understanding the Most High wants you to have, which is what corrupted. And why does he want you to have that corrupt understanding? Because he wants to damn you. And why does he want to damn you? Because when he damns you, you are worthy of what? Death.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the sentence he's going to pronounce. Because that's what he wants to pronounce. And people will say, you know, oh man, that's an evil God. That's what they'll say. I'm like, you need to watch your mouth. Because you just blasphemed. You just blasphemed. So let us bow our heads. We only got through 3 points. And we got probably about 2 parts with a total of about 40 or 50 points concerning our worship and our praise and our prayer, that we got to reverence the Most High. Got to reverence him. Got to fear him. Even to worship him. You shouldn't be singing no praise song to him and you don't fear him. I'm being serious. You know, people say, well, how can you say that? Because I know better now. I know better. And we've been taking the Most High too light. Thinking we can just approach any kind of way. And it has to be acceptable. What if you went up there to go sing a praise song to the Most High and he said, cut their head off? They got the nerve. What are you doing taking my gospel in your mouth? What are you doing taking worship of me and even putting it in your mouth? You evil and wicked person. What are you doing worshiping me as though you have a right to? See, we don't think about things that way. Let's bow our heads. Father, yeah, we come before you right now, Father. Building a foundation that we would fear you and that we would worship you in spirit and in truth and that we would not corrupt your truth and turn it into a lie. Because when we do that, you say that you will send a spirit of strong delusion upon us, that we should believe the lie and be damned. Father, we just want to be in your good grace. Help us to hear the truth. Send us the truth, Father. Only allow the truth to be spoken, that we be not deceived and believe a lie and go down that path, and worship you not in truth. Father, we don't want to receive your wrath, but we want to be in your good graces. Help us. Open our eyes even wider, Father, that we should see what we should see for what it is. That we should see all those who say one thing and are doing another. Who corrupt your word. That we may not be taken by the wiles of the enemy, using his imps, but that we might be shielded by your word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen and amen.
Amen.
We will continue with this on next week, because as I said, when you worship him, when you pray, it should be with fear and trembling. It should be with encouraging the Most High, exhorting him to work on our behalf, to use his words on him. Remember, you said, speak his words. So I pray, you know, that each of you be encouraged, that, you know, that you are walking in his ways, that you are seeking his face, that you are seeking truth. Those are the ones I want to be around. Because everybody's not seeking truth. Everybody's not looking to worship him in spirit and in truth. Some of us just want a pity party. Because when we truly fear him, I'm convinced, when we truly fear him, we're not going to walk otherwise. When we believe what's coming, we're not going to walk otherwise. May the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, my sisters, remember, I love you. And I really do. But I can't love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom.
Shalom, bro.
Shalom.
Have a blessed evening. Get that rest. Have you gone back to work yet, Sister Mary?
No.
Oh, you said you were tired, didn't you? You said you were done.
Let us go back.
Amen. You're not going back. And the job treating you okay, Sister Denise?
Yes, it is.
All right. Amen. Amen. All right. See you guys on Thursday. Business
Amen.
Meeting. Amen.
All righty.
Without you, there's no need. I need a hand.